Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, folks, yesterday, as many of us were praying for the persecuted church throughout the world, we found out about the deadliest church shooting in American history. Our hearts grieve for the families of First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and that whole community that has been affected by this. And so before we go any further in this program today, I would like to take the opportunity to invite one of the co-hosts here, Pastor Gary Dahl, to lead us in prayer for those affected by this church shooting yesterday. Pastor Gary, would you take us to the Lord in prayer for this shooting?
That's a great idea, Isaac, and I'll be glad to do so. Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we thank you that we have the privilege of being able to come right into your throne of grace at any particular time for anything. And Father, we truly do pray for the members of that First Baptist Church down in Sutherland Springs, Texas, thinking of the fact that out of 50 people that were in that service yesterday, 47 of them were either killed or shot. And Lord, I pray for the pastor and I pray for the leadership of that church, that you would give them the strength and the courage they need and the comfort to rebuild that ministry, to be a strength to the people even in the community. Most of us have no idea what something like this is all about, no matter what size of a church we may pastor. And so, Lord, I do just pray for the pastor there and all those who are involved. Through this, we pray that you'll be honored and glorified and that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will go forth clearly. And as you provide that comfort and strength to all who are in need, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gary. Today we have our co-host today is, of course, Gary Dahl and then Sam Rohr, the president of American Pastors Network, and myself, Isaac Crockett. I'm the pastor over at Hamburg Bible Church. And then a little bit later, we'll be bringing in a special guest who actually is my brother. I've known him my whole life. My brother is a pastor at Morningside Baptist Church down in South Carolina. And we'll be talking about the shooting, of course, but also how churches respond to tragedies in the community and the role of the church and Christians. But as we get started here, Sam, I'd like to just bring something up. And well, in fact, we had a similar discussion about this just a few weeks ago in the month of October. Keith Wiebe and myself, I believe, were the co-hosts that day. We discussed the topic of church shootings and biblical self-defense with now retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Pennsylvania State Police, Oscar Rivera. He was basically the second in command of the Pennsylvania State Police. And on that program, I was quoting from an article in 2014 that was written in the New York Times, and the title of that article was FBI Confirms a Sharp Rise in Mass Shootings Since 2000. We went on and we discussed how not only have mass shootings increased in our country, but it seems that the number of church shootings is on the rise too. Sam, as president of American Pastors Network, could you maybe give us an update of information that we know? I know you've been interviewed on TV today even, but information that we know surrounding this church shooting, and maybe talk to us from your perspective, maybe possible reasons or connections that might help us understand why church shootings seem to be on the rise in our country.
Well, Isaac, unfortunately, church shootings are on the rise. This was the worst, and you described it as the worst, most graphic. This goes into the books as one that was extensive, in every regard, very bad. The shooter here, let's go to that first. This guy, 26, Devin Kelly. All we know that his friends and others seem to talk about him is that his ideology was probably most atheistic. They would say he preached atheism. We don't know all that means. There's a lot that's still coming out about it, so we don't know what else is involved. But he clearly went down the path of going in there with the intent of killing everybody in that church. That's what his intent was, with the body armor and everything. We do know that an observant neighbor saw what was happening. He took his rifle, and he was a good marksman. He was just a plumber, this guy. He was not a trained guy, more or less, but he shot through a crack in the body armor, which wounded this fellow. He stopped his shooting. He ran to his car. They chased him down the road, and it appears that he either killed himself or he drove off the road as a result of loss of blood from that neighbor who went after it. So there's a lot of applications to this. But the thing we need to know is that for a long time here now, there have been an increase in church shootings. The National Church Shooting Database is one place that keeps track. 139 shootings at churches between, now get this, 1980 and 2005. Now that's on theirs that they've documented. That total, 185 people killed, including 36 children. Now that's according to the National Church Shooting Base, 1980 to 2005. Since 2005, there have been numerous other church shootings. If we recall, one was in Charleston, South Carolina, where there were some down there. But since 2015, evidently, reports are 248 violent incidents on religious property. And according to the Washington Post, now they're saying that there have been 132 mass shootings in America since 1966, and that goes around everywhere. That includes movie theaters and schools and malls and all that kind of thing. But the thing that bears in mind here is that churches, though, unfortunately, are among that list, and they have been a number of them going way back. Churches make a good target because they publicize their services. They're open to the public. Matter of fact, the church is there to open up the doors to invite in those who need the Lord, and that is the whole purpose. So that is why they are a good target. Many are thinking that. Some are thinking that. And as a result of this, and we'll get into the implications of it, there will need to be some thinking done policy-wise by churches all across the country with what should they do, how should they respond. But unfortunately, churches are a good target for a wicked, evil-minded person.
Wow, what a sad and scary thought there. Pastor Gary, you've seen different tragedies throughout the years. This, as Sam described, has been the worst church shooting. You've been already interviewed a number of times today and have more interviews with local news today to come still. What words are you saying to your congregation, to others, and what kind of encouragement and comfort could you bring, especially maybe to talk to our listeners and maybe even somebody who would be involved with First Baptist Church there in Texas? What would you say to them in these moments that we have in our first segment here?
Well, Isaac, first of all, you know, I think of Psalm 34:18, where it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." And certainly, I think of that pastor. I truly do think of the pastor down there. Who knows what he's going through? Frank Pomeroy is his name. And he must be terribly brokenhearted because of the fact that his own daughter was killed and many of his congregation. And perhaps I can continue this later on. But I think the thing to keep in mind, Isaac, is that God is near those who are of a broken heart and will heal in his time and in his way.
Wow, so true. When we come back, we will look at the biblical response that churches and Christians can have in time of tragedies like what we saw at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we'll be talking to our special guest, my brother, Pastor Joshua Crockett from Morningside Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and talk about some ways that churches can reach our communities when we come back. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, thank you for tuning in. And as we discuss what's been going on over at First Baptist Church in Texas with the deadliest shooting in American history, we also want to talk about what we can do as Christians and as pastors and churches. And we want to look at the church's role when there are tragedies in our communities. And so I want to thank Pastor Joshua Crockett, senior pastor at Morningside Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, somebody who I have looked up to my entire life because he's my older brother. And Josh, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today and to talk to us and to our listeners about these important and current topics that we're facing.
I'm glad to. It's my pleasure.
You know, Josh, yesterday you were interviewed at your church by one of the local news stations in your state about your reaction to the church shooting. Could you maybe briefly tell us what kind of things they wanted to know? And as a pastor of a large church in a state that has seen a very deadly church shooting in recent history, what kind of things maybe you said to those who would be listening on TV as well as to folks in your congregation last night?
As Sam referred to earlier, it is a different day that we live in, and certainly, when we were kids in our dad's church, the idea was you kept the doors open. People often left their doors unlocked at night. But as times are changing, the church really has no choice but to adapt. And so I let the folks know that as a church, our doors are open to our community. We want to welcome anyone who will come to hear God's word preached and hear the gospel. And yet at the same time, we have to be very vigilant to protect our people, to make sure that they can worship securely on the Lord's Day, and that we can have different ministries going throughout the week. So about 16 years ago, right after 9/11, our church started a new ministry. We call them the Gatekeepers or Gate Watchers, and that's exactly what they do, is they are surveying the parking lot throughout the services. They watch the doors of the church and lock certain doors at certain times, and they're communicating through earpieces. And many of them are in law enforcement themselves, and others have been trained. But that's what they do, is they keep us safe throughout the services.
Joshua, thank you very, very much for being with us on Stand in the Gap today. It's certainly a delight to have you with us. And one of these days, we'll have a special program where you can tell us how you made such a positive impact upon your brother, Isaac. And that would be another program for another day. But it's a delight to have you with us. And we've been, of course, looking at this deadly church shooting that took place down in Texas yesterday. But we'd also like to talk to our listeners about the important role churches, pastors, and in reality, all Christians have to play when there's a tragedy like this in their community. But I'm wondering, therefore, if you could share with our listeners some of the unique opportunities that your church, Morningside Baptist, does there in Greenville, some of the unique opportunities your church has been able to do in reaching out to your community in times of tragedy.
Sure, Gary, that's a great question, and it's something really Isaac and I saw modeled by our father, who pastored the same church for 30 years. And I remember back in the 80s, after the Rodney King riots and a lot of negative press toward law enforcement, that my dad saw what was happening with our military at the time was in the Gulf War, and people were supporting them, putting yellow ribbons on their front porches. And he said, why aren't we supporting those men and women on the front lines here in the States who are protecting us and serving us? And so he started what he called a blue and white Sunday, where we would wear ribbons, a white ribbon, wider ribbon, that represented the prayers of the church, and then a smaller blue ribbon in front of it that represented the thin blue line. And so we have done that here at Morningside now. A couple years ago, in March of 2016, a young 28-year-old police officer was gunned down by a convict who had just been released from prison. And so we, on the one-year anniversary this March, we had a service that was well attended. Over 100 officers and then hundreds of their family members came, and we just spent some time honoring Officer Alan Jacobs, that actually attended our church as a child. And so we were able to give the gospel clearly, but let them know, and let his young widow and little baby who hadn't even been born when he was killed know that we love them, that we care for them. And we have folks in our church who are continuing to care for the widow, and we've done the same thing with firefighters last fall. We had a red and white Sunday to honor our firefighters, and a young 30-year-old Jordan Howard was a lieutenant in the local fire department who was killed. So we do everything we can as a church to let those first responders and defenders who are serving and protect us know that we care for them and we love them.
Well, Josh, I was with you a week ago, kind of extending this a little bit, and I really do compliment you and what you're doing with your church, and you're sharing what your father did and recognizing those who do well. And I just remind our listeners that when we talk, we do talk about biblical worldview on this program always. One of the purposes for government is to punish those who do evil, and of course that bears right into what we're talking about today. But the other is to praise those who do well and to pray for those who are in authority. So what you're laying out there, Josh, is something that your father did and you are doing now. And churches can do these things in a lot of different ways, but the principle that is involved is the critical thing. You mentioned specifically about the trooper that was killed. And I was with you that day when that thing happened. He had a tremendous testimony as a trooper. Can you just share just a couple of things about him, perhaps, again, and giving praise to him and maybe sharing it with those who are listening about that? Because there are people's faces behind every tragedy. There is a face. Bring that face to us, if you could.
Sure. Yeah, this was a young 31-year-old man in our church who had just become a state trooper and last month celebrated his one-year anniversary. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, he was just in on the side of the road, and someone slammed into the back of him, killing him virtually instantly. And he, as a young man and a father of three precious little girls who are 5, 4, and 2 years old, he had shown and demonstrated among his peers at the police academy, as well as the state patrol officers that he worked with, his love for the Lord. When they were bringing the personal effects to the family, there was very little left because the car had been so demolished in the wreck. But they found a couple of his pens, and then they brought a car jack, and they said this is not standard issue. This is something he personally purchased because when he would see people on the side of the road, that's the kind of guy Keith was. He wanted to be a good Samaritan and help them out. His father-in-law was telling me how little kids had been jumping over their back fence at Keith and Michelle's home, and so he told his wife he'd take care of it. And she assumed maybe he'd kind of scare them or wear his uniform out there and intimidate them. But instead, he built a gate in the fence. And I used that as an opportunity to share with almost 3,000 who came to his funeral last Sunday, and over 1,000 of them were state troopers and law enforcement officers. And I shared with them this is exactly what Christ did to reconcile man to God, is with with three nails and two pieces of wood, he built a bridge that we call the cross to reconcile us to him. And that was the heart that Keith had. There was a state trooper who showed up yesterday at our church and said, I'm a believer. And he said, many of the guys in our unit aren't. And we're used to going to funerals where we know the character of the guy, and he may be a good guy, but he's certainly not a Christian, and yet some minister will preach him into heaven. He said the funeral last Sunday was the opposite. No one knew any faults in Keith. He had a godly character, and yet you told us that he was a sinner and that only through Jesus Christ could he be made right with God. So it's been amazing just how Keith's story and then his strong godly character and testimony have impacted hundreds and even thousands of law enforcement officers here in the upstate.
Josh, you just held his funeral, as you said, last Sunday, and there were thousands there, and then even thousands more watching on television and watching live, streaming it from their computers. And you had the opportunity to share from his testimony. I believe you actually read from his Bible verses that were highlighted that gave the gospel. Could you maybe talk briefly about that in the moments we have before the break, as well as give the website that you put to your church website with information about him and about the gospel?
Sure. One of the news networks, Fox Carolina, that was there live streamed the whole service among other news channels, and they've had over 70,000 views. But at the end of that service, or my part in the service in the funeral sermon, I let them know that they could go to morningside.org/Keith. And I said, I'm going to have Keith's story, and I'm also going to talk about Keith's Savior. And the next day, there had already been hundreds of people who had viewed that page. There's a little form at the bottom where they can respond, and we've had people asking about salvation. And so we are excited about how Keith's testimony on this webpage, morningside.org/Keith, is impacting now over 1,000 people who've viewed his story.
Wow. Stay tuned. Hope you can check that website out. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking to Joshua more about what churches and Christians can do to reach out to their communities. And we're going to especially focus on reaching out to first responders and law enforcement as we think about what they go through during these times of tragedy as well. So stay tuned. You want to tune in when we come right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to our program, and I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Isaac Crockett, and I'm joined by my co-host today, Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. And we're talking with our special guest, my brother, Pastor Joshua Crockett, the senior pastor at Morningside Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining, but I also want to remind all of you who are listening, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, that you can listen to this program and other programs. All of our programs are archived. You can also find out additional information and resources, or even share some of these sources with other people by visiting our website, standinthegapradio.com. And you can also get our phone app for your smartphone. Or another thing you can do is you can follow us on social media. Facebook, Twitter, even our YouTube channel are all great resources and options for not only staying up to date with the latest information from American Pastors Network, but also great ways to share this information with other people. Thanks again for listening. And I just want to talk about what we've been seeing today. We've been looking at this, the deadliest church shooting in American history that took place at a small Baptist church in Texas yesterday. But we've also been talking about actions that we can take to protect our churches and what we can do to reach our communities, to reach out in our communities during times of tragedy. And we're speaking with our special guest, my brother, Pastor Joshua Crockett, who's had several opportunities just recently, and he shared with us some opportunities over the last few days from a very godly state trooper in his church who recently died in the line of duty. But in these times of tragedy, sometimes we forget that a big part of our community that is always affected in these times is that of our first responders in the community. Police officers especially seem to be in the thick of all these difficult cases. So before we go back to my brother Josh, our special guest, I would like to pick Gary's brain a little bit. Pastor Gary here, you've been in the ministry longer than the rest of us on the radio today. Pastor Gary, I know that you have a very close relationship with many law enforcement officers in your area. What are some of the things that you have done to show that your church cares for them? And could you maybe tell us what you do as a pastor and as a church to reach out to this part of our community?
Well, first of all, I appreciate what Josh said. And Josh, you have a tremendous ministry to the police and the firemen in your community. And may all of us who are pastors learn from what you are doing. What you've shared so far has been a great lesson for the rest of us. But here in our area, Josh, we have a ministry to both the, well, I should say to the state police, the local city police, the township police departments that are around us, that we've been conducting for a number of years. And without going into it in any great detail, it includes the various things such as personal counseling. We've had a number of opportunities to speak to the chiefs of police in our area and to advise and counsel them. And of course, that's opened the door of opportunity for us to be able to talk to some of the other police officers within their departments. We have special services, just like Josh has there at Morningside, where we honor our police and pray for them and give them certificates to let them know that we are standing with them. Just recently, we put together T-shirts, you know, the blue and white T-shirts. And on the back of those T-shirts, it is written, Faith Baptist Church of Altoona supports our police department. And we gave those out to all of the 7 police departments that are here in the city of Altoona. We have prayer times for them. We also have a little card that I put together that I will actually stop the police, Isaac. I've stopped them along the interstate. I've stopped them along the streets of our city. And it says, the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, we appreciate and pray for all members of the law enforcement community on a daily basis. Thank you for caring for and protecting us. For prayer requests, I give a number, and then I say all calls will be confidential. And on the back of that card, I have John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then also Joshua 1:9. Where it says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. These are just some of the things that we've done throughout the years in reaching out to the law enforcement in our area.
Josh, I want to go back with you now, pick up on something. Gary, I know what he's talking about personally. I've been at his church on a number of occasions when he's had people into the church as he personally ministers to those in civil government. Gary's actually led some in his area to the Lord. They now know their way to heaven because he made that pathway to them clear. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And at the American Pastors Network, we try to promote a concept we call ministers together, meaning that those in the pulpit we know are biblical ministers, ministers of God. But we also know from Romans 13 that those who are in positions of civil government, not just elected officials, but those who would be appointed, those that would be in law enforcement, those that would be in any way responsible on the part of civil government jurisdiction to respond to the needs of people at that kind of thing, that they also, properly understood, are ministers of God. Many would like to make that a political relationship. It is not. It's a biblical relationship. And Josh and Isaac, I know your father, and you referred to him, was someone that years before it was, well, many weren't doing and many still are not. We're trying to encourage them, but he understood the biblical connection, and he actually began to do things to reach into the lives of those who were in the area of civil government. He was a minister of God in church as a pastor, but he realized that biblical connection and mandate, and God blessed that in a significant way. When I know I set an example for you all, could you share something, an illustration of something that maybe happened or he did that really impacted you and perhaps, you know, giving you an example for how you could be doing things and are doing things now that you are also a pastor?
Sure. I think having those blue and white Sundays, and it became an annual event for our church, and he would often do exactly what you said and go to Romans 13 and let them know, look, you are ministers of God for our good. You don't bear the sword in vain, but you bear it to protect us and serve us as a community. And not only was it a wonderful way of letting these men and women know that we as a church supported them and stood behind them and our prayers were behind them, but a number of them came to the Lord as a result. And I think as local churches express to their law enforcement and firefighters and first responders their appreciation, the Lord often uses that to open doors for the gospel, and it's exciting as a pastor to have law enforcement officers who are joining your church and being saved as a result, and that certainly makes me feel more protected, and we have our gate watchers, and we're increasingly getting law enforcement officers who are part of that ministry, which is a tremendous blessing, most of all, of course, to see them come to Christ.
Josh, as you're talking about that, I'm also thinking of some of our civil authorities who work with law enforcement, and they make the laws, and the law enforcement enforce them. And I remember, you know, Dad witnessing to many of them as well, even at his funeral. People from both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, came pouring through to pay their respects. And can think of, you know, some of our congressmen and governors and things. I think of David McIntosh, our congressman, and then a congressman who's now kind of a household name, Mike Pence, because he's the vice president. But you were part of our dad's ministry during a lot of those times. Could you maybe give a quick little bit of information on that and how that helped our church and really has had an impact on more than just our church, our entire community, through some of these civil leaders that our church had an influence on?
Certainly, I think that the ministers of God for our good isn't limited just to correctional officers or law enforcement officers. And so typically every couple years, especially if it was a big election year, we would have a civil leaders Sunday and often have a meal that we'd provide to thank them for their service. There were a number of dignitaries and leaders, civil servants from our state, who came to Trooper Redmond's funeral last Sunday, and I spent some time talking to the lieutenant governor, found out he is a like-minded believer, and we're able to have Christian fellowship. And so I think as local churches, as we let our salt and light be seen in a community, there is an ability that we have to make connections and to influence our community and government officials for good.
Amen. You know, Sam, as we've seen this Trooper Redmond, that there was so much respect for him at his homegoing, it kind of clashes with the other things we've been seeing in the news with a lack of respect for police. And do you have maybe a quick answer to why we're seeing so much hate towards our law enforcement officers right now in our history in America?
I can, Isaac, and I think it's directly related to what we know from other surveys, is that the biblical worldview of our citizens. As our citizens walk away from an understanding of who God is in his nature as sovereign and creator and ruler and lover and redeemer, and they walk away from the concept of reality of sin, and they lose that, then they lose the understanding of how God has created, as we talked about, ministers of God in government for good and ministers elsewhere. It's the lack of biblical teaching. When that is renewed, when that is reinstituted, the respect for law enforcement and for those in office will go up. It's tied that closely, I think.
What an important reminder that biblical worldview is so important, and as we get further away, the worse our society is because of it. You don't want to go away. We're going to be right back after this break. And as always, we'll be looking at biblical solutions to the problems of the day and looking at resources that can help you. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we thank you so much for listening today, and the time has really been flying by. But we've been looking at the latest news of the church shooting in Texas yesterday and discussing what we as Christians can do in our communities to help when we go through a tragic experience. And I would also like to encourage all of you, our listeners, that if you're interested in this topic of self-defense and defending our churches, we did talk about church shootings and being prepared for that just a few weeks ago. I think it was October 17th that we interviewed Oscar Rivera, former Lieutenant Colonel of the State Police. And you could look that archive up for October 17th, as well as I think that much of that has been transcribed into an article format. I think it's called Getting a Grip on Gun Control, and I think that's also on our website. So if you have questions, you could look at that. But Sam, before we talk any more about this, just kind of briefly, I know we could take a whole lot more time about this, but what do you see as a brief explanation for Christians when it comes to the right to defend ourselves?
Isaac, first of all, let me make it clear that the principle of self-defense is biblical. Let's go there, number one. Number two, God does make the matter of self-defense a matter of priority, and that responsibility goes to anyone who's in a position of authority. All right, so let's think it up this way. Do I, as a father or mother, as parents in authority, do we not have a responsibility to protect our children? Yes, in fact, we do. And if we let them just run out in the middle of the street It's against the law, but it's also deadly, and it's very stupid. So they have a responsibility. Does an employer not have a responsibility to put things in place to protect his employees from harm? The answer is yes, he does. Does civil government? Yes, in fact, it does. Romans 13 puts the sword in the hands of civil government. So police officers and the military, those are all things established by God. The reason is that it's part and the parcel of punishing those who do evil and as well encouraging those who do well. That's where the whole concept of defense comes into it. But even in the personal sense, there is a responsibility. Do we intentionally walk out in the middle of the road? Do we intentionally not want to protect ourselves? Well, no. Even Jesus told his disciples at one point, he said, go sell your cloak and buy a sword. And why did Jesus tell his disciples to buy a sword? They didn't need a sword, yet they did need a sword. Because as they walked the streets, they were bandits. As they walked the roads carrying out the gospel, they met with bandits and the terrorists of their day. Let's put it that way. And so Christ said, you take that. You use it appropriately. That's not your spiritual weapon. The Word of God is your spiritual weapon, but you do carry a weapon. So I'm not going to go too much more than that, other than say it's biblical. The framework is there, and depending upon the level of jurisdiction, you take one precaution or another. But does it come to the church? Does the church need to think about that? Yeah, it does, and so does the pastor and the leadership, because there's also an aspect of protection for their people. So we could build this out, but I'll just let it there.
That's a good point, Sam. And, you know, before I ask Josh a question, I want to remind all of our listeners that the issue that we're dealing with is not gun control, but rather heart control. You know, There were people killing people even before there were guns. And Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If Devin Patrick Kelly would have been won to Christ, this shooting undoubtedly would not have taken place. And so it's not the gun control issue, it's the heart control issue that we as pastors and Christians have the opportunity to share with others through what we call personal evangelism, and we need to advance that in our lives. But Josh, as Christians, we ultimately trust God's sovereignty in our lives and know that He makes no mistakes. And so my question to you is, what would you say to a listener who's gone through a tragedy like we've been hearing on the news in the last 24 hours, and perhaps he begins to doubt the goodness of God or God's sovereignty as a result? You know, I say many, many times, Josh, that our sovereign God causes, allows, and directs all things to happen. I'm wondering if you might be able to comment on that, please.
Yes, and that is such an appropriate question for Christians. Last Sunday, as we were reeling from the news of this young state trooper being killed and this young wife and three beautiful daughters losing the protector and provider in their family, I had already been planning to go to Psalm 46 for Reformation Sunday. This was Martin Luther's favorite psalm that he transposed almost into a hymn, which we know as A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And so we looked at that psalm that says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the kinds of things that we see on the news happening, we can still be still and know that He is God. And it's interesting, my grandfather, who's 94, grew up in Holland, and when he was 17, Hitler's Third Reich invaded, and so he joined the Dutch resistance, and they did what they could as teenagers to try to stop evil in their homeland and protect Jewish people. And he saw horrible atrocities, SS guards throwing Jewish babies from rooftops into the streets, Jews sent to the death camps. And at one point, several of his friends were captured by the Nazis. These were young men in the resistance. They were tied up in the town square in front of a firing squad. And the Nazi commander asked for their last words. And they started singing in German, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And my grandfather said he could see many of these young Nazis in the firing squad had tears coming down their cheeks as they heard the most famous German hymn that was practically their national anthem, written by Martin Luther, this national hero. And then, of course, the commander said, ready, aim, fire. But these young Dutchmen realized that they were living in a world that was literally raging. The whole world was at war. that in the midst of all that raging, they had found a refuge, a fortress, an ever-present help in trouble. They had learned to be still and know that Jehovah is God, that he will be exalted among the nations, that the Lord, not the Fuhrer, would be exalted in the earth. And they believed that Germany's own Luther was right. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. And so we can find refuge in God's present help, and we can find rest in God's powerful rule, even when we see tragedies like this.
Amen and amen. Josh, what a powerful reminder of God's sovereignty and control, even in these times when the deceitfulness and wickedness of man creeps up and does something like this. Sam, we're unfortunately almost out of time. Could you close our time in prayer, praying for the folks affected by this, and just taking us to the Lord's throne before we close our program?
Absolutely. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that across these airwaves right now, we can lift up the hearts and minds of thousands of people to you, praying for these families affected by the shooting in Texas. We pray for the pastor. We pray for the families. Give them unusual courage and grace, Lord, to be strong in these times, that as they have an opportunity to give a witness, that they would speak the truth boldly and give a demonstration of the power of God through the saving influence of Jesus Christ in their lives, that the unbelieving world can see a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Gary, for joining me. Josh, thanks so much for being on our program with us today. All of you listening, thanks. Please remember to pray for us and for the ministries of American Pastors Network. We appreciate you listening to us, and I would ask you to make the decision today to stand in the gap for the Lord right now today, and also tune in again tomorrow on radio, online, or on your phone.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.